Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, as the entire country moves to level 5 restrictions tomorrow night, the banking industry has said it will continue to support customers to the end of the COVID-19 pandemic, but has stopped short of offering further blanket loan repayment breaks. I'm joined now by Brian Hayes, Chief Executive of the Banking Payments Federation, and thank you very much for joining us this evening, Brian. Can I ask you, why are your members not offering payment breaks to people who can't pay because they're out of work through no fault of their own?
Well, we're not saying, Sarah, and good evening, we're not going to offer it. The payment breaks are part of the solutions that could well be offered. I suppose the industry-wide payment break came to an end on the 30th of September. And if you look at the time of the European Banking Authority, which is effectively the European supervisor here, it advised banking associations to move on to a case-by-case basis. Other comments that were made at the time by the Governor of the Central Bank correctly highlighting the responsibility of the industry to provide tailored solutions based on individual need, but rather than a kind of a system-wide break. And I think that's what we've got to do now. I mean, no one expected that we would be back into this lockdown effectively for the next 6 weeks. It is unlike the lockdown come March or April in the sense that the government supports are very, very substantial in terms of helping people to remain having payments and also industry, but also manufacturing remains open effectively and construction. Mm-hmm. And I suppose the big difference this time, unlike March and April, Sarah, is that there's been enormous engagement between lenders and borrowers. We know affected customers. We know the sectors of the economy which are affected more than others. I think if the truth be told, even though at the height of the payment break, What was it, 150,000 payment breaks were offered by Irish banks, 90,000 effectively to mortgage holders. We're down to about 21,700 right now. And many of those people in affected areas of the economy, like hospitality, transport, and other areas, they may not have the same exposure on mortgages than other parts of the economy that remain open or where the income remains. So the key message the industry is delivering to people across the country tonight is, please, please engage with your lender. There are solutions around that. Some of them may well be around payment breaks or other short-term solutions. But I suppose in a circumstance where someone has come through a six-month payment break, the question is, does that person need a more restructured mortgage rather than a payment break? Is it more in their interest rather than be lumbering more and more debt on their shoulders to get them on a restructured path so that they can get over their difficulty and get ultimately back to capital and interest? And I suppose that's the question all lenders would be asking themselves right now.
Yeah, because when it was announced that there wouldn't be an extension of that payment break a couple of weeks ago, I saw you quoted, and the Banking Federation quoted, saying, you know, that there would be options and that payment breaks could be given to people on a case-by-case basis. But of course, the difference is now, if you do get an extension or a payment break, it will be recorded on the Central Credit Register, and that can affect the borrower's ability to secure further finance in the future. Your credit rating is damaged as a result. And I'm just wondering why the banks feel the need to do that to people when they are on their knees.
So the Central Credit Register comes from the 2013 Act, the Credit Reporting Act, and it's a piece of law. So the banks have to put information onto the Central Credit Register. It was done as a means of trying to have better lending policy in the future, better borrowing policy, making sure people know where they stood. It's not some kind of black mark on someone. It's simply a practical piece of information. And I would make the point to people, you know, lenders in the future, if they see and they look back on someone's credit history, they'll know that this year and possibly next year or whenever this pandemic is with us, that's part and parcel of the register. It's not some kind of score. It's not a black mark.
But it is, Brian. It is a score and a black mark because it means your credit rating is damaged. That is a black mark in terms of borrowing in the future.
So I think, well, firstly, it's primary law. And the banks
but the reason it didn't, I understand that they're following the law because they've decided that they're going to do this on a case by case basis. But the whole point is, this wasn't in place. You weren't going to have your credit rating damaged under the last system that the banks had in place, which was the blanket payment break. Because the banks have chosen to rescind the blanket payment break, now if you do look for a payment break, your credit rating is damaged. And I'm wondering why the banks feel that they should do that to borrowers at this time.
So, So there was no guarantee from any regulator or the European system that even were we to continue with a blanket payment break, that we wouldn't have to affect the credit history of people. And that is not the position. So the law is the law. We're simply implementing the law. If legislators want to change the law, that's a matter for them. But instead of seeing this as some kind of treatment that forever and a day people are marked in such and such a way, I think people have to see it differently. It was introduced at a time when we didn't have a proper oversight on lending and borrowing in the economy. And as I said, you know, before COVID, there were payment breaks, Sarah. Clearly, during COVID, there were payment breaks. Right now, we've seen 150,000 payment breaks that the sector has delivered. After COVID, there will be payment breaks. But a payment break is a short-term solution. If someone is in a longer-term debt situation, we have to ask ourselves questions. We have legal responsibilities to ask ourselves questions. Is it the right thing that borrower gets more and more debt? Do we need to restructure that debt? And the other part I would say is this. I mean, whatever you think about the Irish banking sector, and we've made lots of mistakes in the past of that, there is absolutely no doubt, but the payment breaks were not one of them, in my view. Whatever you think about the Irish banking sector, over the past decade, close to 80,000 mortgages have been restructured because of the crash that we went through. We have a lot of experience. Yeah. We have 2,500 people working currently across the retail banks who are engaging with people around those solutions.
Sure, well, and we're not talking about that though specifically. We are talking specifically about the payment breaks and the call to reinstate those. And I suppose the thing is, it's different, isn't it? And I've seen a lot of statistics quoted over the last couple of weeks about how, even yourself quoted, saying the early indications that the number of people who were going from six-month payment breaks back to payment, yes, was better than expected, you said. And that even though there's a deadline of September 30th for borrowers to apply for payment breaks, you said you didn't see a surge of applicants coming forward in the lead up to that. These are not people who are ordinarily in debt. These are people who have been thrust into a situation not of their own making, told to close their businesses or told they've lost their jobs temporarily because of the pandemic. These are people who want to pay back their debt and will pay back their debt as soon as they can. And I believe all the indications are that the borrowers are paying back their debt as soon as they could. So I'm wondering why the banks couldn't recognise that very specific situation and give these people a break now when they need it without affecting their credit rating.
So we are going to continue to give people a break. We are going to continue to provide a solution for them. The banks in Ireland operate under an EU-wide supervisory system that's set out in primary law.
All right, okay. But
it's an important people understand it. When the EBA decided that we should move to a case-by-case, supported by our own regulator here, that was a very clear indication that we have got to start resolving the debt. We know this year alone, Sarah, there will be 2.6 billion of debts that will have to be written down because of loan loss and provisioning across the sector. Mm-hmm. We know the sector will be under difficulty this year. I know that's, I'm not making the point trying to say it's of comfort to anyone. All I'm saying is that where this kind of event happens, right, the sector will take a hit. And I think the crucial thing people need to do is to engage with their banks. We are there as an industry to help them in any way we can.
You have made that point. Before I let you go, Brian, can I ask you about your attendance at the Oireachtas Gaelic Society dinner last August? The news of that event obviously broke on August 21st, rather. But I don't think you've addressed it really on broadcast media before now. Did you know you were breaking the rules?
Well, I didn't. I suppose I was hugely embarrassed that I went to the dinner, and I apologise unreservedly now, as I did at the time. I did give interviews at the time, Sarah. I may not have been on your programme, but I certainly gave interviews at the time, and I made it very clear that I shouldn't have gone to the dinner. I said that, and I was embarrassed by it, and I made that very, very clear. I apologised to my own team in here, and especially to our own board. And I recognise the hurt that the dinner caused. Whatever the best motivations of people and the best intentions of people at the time, it was wrong to have that dinner. And I apologised at the time. And I do so again. It shouldn't have happened. I think it caused a huge amount of angst in the country, and I fully recognise that.
Did you know you were breaking the rules?
I didn't really. When I went into the situation, I wished I hadn't. I know at the time there are two very large rooms. An attempt was made by all of the organisers and the hotel concerned. But that, irrespective of the rules, I shouldn't have been a celebratory dinner. That's the point I'm making.
Sure. No, and I understand that. I'm just wondering, because there were 80 people attending, and even before the government had changed the rules to say that you couldn't have 80, you couldn't have 50, was the rules before the government changed the rules. So we knew you couldn't have 50 at least. And I think the government had reduced it to 15. I'm wondering, did you know there were 80 people? Were you able to see 80 people? Did you know there was a second function room?
I knew there was a section function room, yes, and there was a clear partition between them, yes.
Yeah. So did it strike you that there were more than 50 people present?
At the time, as I said, I wished I had have turned back, recognising that at the time. And as I said, all I can do is apologise for that, as I'm sure others have done as well. And I said that at the time. And I have no difficulty in saying it to you again today. I did say it at the time. It's not true as I didn't give an interview.
No, that's fine. And I think people will be happy and will appreciate hearing that. But I'm just wondering if you knew that the rules were 50, and most people did, and you knew there was a second function room.
I was on my holidays at the time, and like a lot of people, I would have done things differently had I thought about it at the time. I was in Clifton at the time. There was a lot of people on their holidays. And as I said, I apologise unreservedly and sincerely for attending the dinner.
Phil Hogan resigned and Derek Leary resigned. Did you consider resigning?
Well, I did, but I felt that having spoken with our board that it wasn't the appropriate thing to do. I took on an important responsibility for an important sector, and a sector that I believe in, that has made a huge number of mistakes in the past, but a sector that's important to the future of this country, as we're discussing right now. And I thought the right thing to do was to stick with it, to apologise, which I did, and I have no difficulty in making that apology again to you now.
Did you receive any sanction from your employer?
Well, I suppose I had a very long conversation with my employer, and that's a conversation I have between my employer, which is a private sector business, and myself, and they took the matter very seriously, and they've accepted my apology, and I appreciate and recognise that.
Just on a wider issue, Brian, one of the things I think that really concerned people was to see all these different people in positions of power, a cabinet minister, Supreme Court judge, EU commissioner, the Moroccan ambassador, yourself, all socialising together like a proper golden circle. You're there in the middle of it, the chief executive of the Banking Federation. And we're told by government that they'll take a strong line with the banks on this issue that we've just been discussing, for example, the issue of payment breaks. And then we see the chief executive of the Banking Federation socialising with members of government. And I think people have to wonder, will the government take a strong line when you're socialising with members of, or the chief executive of the Banking Federation? Or do you have an inside line when you're socialising with members of government? Can you understand why that would make people feel uncomfortable or maybe even angry?
Yeah, I can if it's presented like that, but of course that's not what happened, of course. And it's not what many people said online about that at the time. Anyone who knows me knows that I play golf. They know I'm a former member of the Oireachtas. It was a social setting for people. It was a social setting where, I think there were five members of the Oireachtas there, no government minister.
There was a cabinet minister, Derek Leary.
At the dinner, but not at the golf. And the point I would make
is... But you were at the dinner.
Yeah, but I didn't speak to Dara. The idea, I was on my holiday. The idea that I was going to be lobbying for the banks or saying anything about banking policy to anyone, for anyone who knows me, that was not going to happen on my holiday. I attended that same event for probably each year in the last 15 years. And is normally the start of my holiday. So all I can tell you is the truth, and I know others want to depict it in another way, but that's a matter for other people.
Thank you very much for joining us this evening. Brian Hayes, Chief Executive of the Banking Payments Federation.